Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Typically bitter rivals on the Klamath River have reached a deal that could lead to the most extensive dam removal project in the nation if the company that owns the dam signs on. After years of negotiations, a group of farmers, fishermen, government representatives, and Indian tribes announced a breakthrough yesterday, a $1 billion plan to revive the river's salmon population while still delivering water and cheap power for farmers on the Oregon border. The trouble is PacifiCorps, which owns the four dams, was excluded from the talks. Southern California Edison says seven workers at the San Onofre nuclear power plant near San Clemente have been disciplined or fired over safety and security problems federal regulators identified earlier this week. Thanks to a 2004 voter mandate, Proposition 71, California now runs the world's largest single source of funding for human embryonic stem cell research, with $3 billion to spend, which goes some way towards explaining why the new head of the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine has agreed to move all the way from Australia. Dr. Alan Trounson is considered a pioneer in two fields, in vitro fertilization and stem cell research. He produced some of the first test tube babies. He founded seven companies. His resume runs 72 pages. And he's just arrived in San Francisco. Trounson says he wants to support a broad range of stem cell research, not just what grabs the biggest news headlines.
I think there has been a concentration, at least on the communication side, for human embryonic stem cells, and I love those cells. I really think they're fantastic, and their power is just extraordinary. But I've also worked in adult stem cells, and I've worked in placental stem cells and cord stem cells, the umbilical cord, and I recognize how important these are. So what I want to do is kind of integrate it through the whole space, that is, bring in a diversity that will enable us to be more effective in the end point of delivering the clinical outcomes.
There are a lot of high hopes for embryonic stem cell research. Scientists promise everything from treatments or cures for Alzheimer's all the way to Parkinson's. How realistic are those promises? Are we talking about applications that we might see in our lifetimes?
I'm optimistic, and I believe that there will be a range of options available for patients. Now, how long will it take? That's always a tricky question, but I don't mind trying to answer that. We already have clinical programs for adult stem cells. Bone marrow stem cells have been used for quite a long time now, 20 years or more. And there are some new adult stem cells that are going into the clinic, and I think they're producing really impressive results. So what I'd like to do is connect with that clinical work and offer them better and better cells so that we get a better and better outcome for the patient. So I'm not so concerned specifically to get a whole cure immediately, but if we can make a difference to people, that is, improve their quality of life, a paraplegic to be able to use their bladder and their bowel would give them back their dignity. Now, that would be something that they've explained to me would be really, really important, and they would very much appreciate that. Or, you know, if we can hold a disease like multiple sclerosis, can we hold it so that it doesn't get worse while we work out how to repair the situation? These are the kind of things I think that are on offer within the next 5 to 10 years, and that's my determination. I hope by the time I'm finished my tour of duty here that there in fact will be early clinical trials in these areas.
I imagine that stem cell research is still a pretty small club of brilliant people, and there are a lot of concerns in California about conflict of interest. There was one case last year that actually resulted in a state audit. How do you go about, as the new head of the institute, reinstilling a sense of public trust?
Well, I think that's important. What is really interesting about this organization is its transparency. So we have this very public examination all the time, and so all of the board meetings are held in public, which I think is incredibly healthy. But what it does is make it very demanding for everybody on the board, everybody on the staff, to ensure that there is no conflict of interest. So I'm impressed to date that the staff have picked up every one of these conflicts and identified them before there's been a final action. So I just think it's being done very well. But in this area, I think, you know, we have to say that we need to keep reminding people, because it's not that people would always think about, you know, the range of their own personal activities, how that might come into conflict in these situations.
You know, the Institute has doled out money at this point to, I think, a couple dozen outfits. But when you look at the numbers, five outfits get the lion's share of it. Stanford, UCSF, UCLA, UC San Diego, and UC Irvine. Is this a game for big operations, or do small research outfits have a chance of getting some of this money?
No, clearly it's open to everybody. I think what is required of us is to select the best proposals. And so we do that very carefully in a peer review system where we invite very senior scientists from other states, so outside California, and international people who've got very high reputations, to help work out an assessment of the quality of the proposals that are being put. Now, I think that because some of these big universities are fantastic places, you've got some of the most powerful and best research institutes in the world here. You have to recognise that. So there's going to be a very strong applications from those kind of people. But we're actually limiting some of their applications to a certain number so that we can actually spread it a bit more throughout the community. What we're interested in many ways, is innovation, so new thinking. And that can come from some of the most surprising places.
Alan Trounson, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Alan Trounson, the new head of the state's Institute of Regenerative Medicine. You can hear the whole interview at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, January 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, sponsoring the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, with information online at www.irvine.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.